Hey, welcome to Big Jim's Garage. In the podcast, we get everybody from all over the world. Roger Penske, Mario Andretti's been on, Jackie Stewart, Goldberg, the wrestler. Mark, did you know Goldberg's a big automotive guy?
I did not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got his own collection, Goldberg's Garage. Yeah, Bill Goldberg is he's a big Dodge guy. Remember the Lawman, the dragster, like the funny car they used to show off in the 60s and 70s?
Absolutely.
He owns it. He owns it.
You're kidding.
No.
Mark, that's great.
Isn't that wild? Mark Phelan's with us, our guest from the Detroit Free Press. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Jim.
Now, I want to get to your story, your article, which has jumped out at me. I read it. I honestly read it two or three times. The 20 must-see new cars coming in the next 12 months. But real quick, I want to mention, I spent a week driving a Polaris Slingshot. And
what was that like?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't driven a motorcycle in 40 years, and I was under the impression before they delivered it that it was significantly smaller than it was. So when it shows up and you get in there, it's a two-seater car. What do they call them, side-by-sides or whatever? That kind of feel to it. It has no motorcycle roll. And then when we popped the hood, I was with some friends of mine who work at General Motors, and we noticed right away that's not a motorcycle motor underneath there. That's the same four-cylinder they were using in the Cruze.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
So a belt-driven four-cylinder, a stick shift, you're a five-speed in there, and it drove like just the most – it drove like a car. The most interesting part to me was the way, if you think about it, you've got all your power centered behind you, directly behind you, with the way the Slingshot's built. So it's a it's a different sensation than even like the front. The motorcycles you see with the two wheels up front and the one in the back, they tend to bank and curl. Slingshot doesn't do that. So it is honestly like it's like driving a go-kart for adults.
Wow. That does sound like fun.
It was. It was the most fun, and everybody talks about it, Mark. You drive around. My kid, my 15-year-old Adam, was bugging the hell out of me everywhere we went, whether it was the gym, to the store, wherever. And by the way, they tell you how much they have you can put in there for storage. 5 pounds goes in the glove box. It's a fun. It was the most fun I've had driving a vehicle in a couple of years, and it just – I get why people buy them. I totally understand why people buy these things because they're just fun. You go out and you drive. You know, we always talk about that passion of driving, Mark. That, to me, is one of those vehicles that just – I got out of it, and I'm laughing my ass off. I was in a good mood every time I drove that Polaris Slingshot.
You can't ask for much more than that, can you?
No, you really can't. I mean, and that kind of segues in. So to the folks at Polaris, great job. I mean, I know they're available at dealerships here. You in the state of Michigan no longer need a motorcycle license. You can drive it just with an automotive license. And like I said, it drives like a car. I was absolutely blown away and had a blast driving it. But I transitioned from that and the idea of driving cars, your 20 must-see new cars. And it was interesting. Your story came up in the Free Press, and I'm driving along. It came up, what, Saturday? Saturday was in there, right?
I believe that's right. Yep.
Okay. Friday, on the way home from work, I'm driving along, minding my own business. I look to my right, and there's a Ford Ranger.
Really? One of the new ones out on the road.
One of the new ones out on the road, manufacturer plate. And Mark knows me long enough. I'm the guy who will follow people if I see a manufacturer plate. I went right past my exit in Waterford and just kept going to see how it looks. Mark, are you like me that I think vehicles sometimes, just seeing a photo of them doesn't do them justice. You have to see them on the road and how they look. And the Ranger, to me, looks a lot better on the road than it did sitting still in the photos.
I'm glad to hear that, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, pickups and you know, midsize sedans, especially being in a show or on a show floor or in a photo, doesn't really capture it as well as seeing it on the road. And the Ranger, I'm particularly interested in seeing on the road because the new one is going to be considerably bigger than the old one that they used to make.
Do you think, though? So, I mean, when we're talking about like with Ford doing this as well. Obviously, the F-150 is their baby. We've all been there. I mean, what, close to 900,000 a year in their units. There's no way that someone who's a city truck buyer is going to look at an F-150, then look at the Ranger and go, okay, I'd rather have the Ranger. Are they robbing Peter to pay Paul on some level?
Well, that's going to be the fascinating question about that vehicle. Because they decided when they dropped the old Ranger, it was because they wanted to put all their eggs in one basket, and that was the F-150. And that's been good to them for a lot of years. So there's a really, open question still as to whether it'll be mostly plus business or, they'll lose too many F-150 buyers to the Ranger, because I have to say all of the full-size pickups these days are getting big enough that I can see how a lot of, people who work in the city or suburbs might decide, I'd rather have something that's just a little bit smaller just for the ease of parking.
Well, that's, if you look at a Colorado compared to a Silverado, I mean, I know there's a difference, but it's not that much of a difference. I mean, when I see what the ZR2 versions and stuff of the Colorados, that's a big truck.
Absolutely. And it's probably within an inch of the size of my father's Chevy pickup that I drove when I was in high school.
Man, it's crazy how this is all working out, too. I mean, we're seeing so many brands coming back. And again, Mark Phelan's with us from the Detroit Free Press. So we go from the Ranger to the Blazer, which to me, I love my friends in the big silver building and stuff, but that was the most underwhelming, oh my God, did that just happen unveiling I've ever seen. When it popped up in Atlanta, I'm like, really? That's how we're going to unveil the Blazers on a Tuesday?
Well, everything about the Blazer has been a little bit surprising. I wasn't aware they did something in L.A. There was an event this spring in Ann Arbor. Atlanta, pardon me,
right.
that they did. And I didn't get to it, but I saw the vehicle at the GM Design Center in Warren. And I've got to say, it looks good when you walk up to it. So that's one that I'm going to be real curious to see, because that's one of the growth segments, the sort of midsize SUV that's between an Explorer and an Escape.
So for Chevy, though, it's the same thing, though. You're between the Traverse and then you go smaller with the Blazer and the iconic name to it. I always have the same question. I mean, I know everybody's flocking anything with UV on the end of it. So when we look at something like the Blazer, where it fits in that midsize market, again, the term of the service is always fratricide. You're kind of taking out your brother.
Yes.
You think there's any concern from them, or there's just such a demand for anything with UV on the end of it, they don't care?
Oh, there has to be some concern, but if they did it right, if they're smart, they'll take a very few owners who might be getting a smaller Equinox or a Traverse, and most of the people who buy Blazers will be people who are getting out of mid-sized sedans and large sedans, Impala, Malibu, Toyota Avalon. If they could get a few buyers out of the Honda Accord, that'd thrill them. So there's always going to be a little bit of bleed out of your own product line, I think. But as long as the great majority of them are coming from other people and coming from the big sedans and mid-sized sedans that are generally being de-emphasized at other automakers, they'll be happy.
So Nissan, one of the cars, talking with Mark Phelan again from the Detroit Free Press, the story, 20 must-see new cars coming in the next 12 months. We have the link up on our website as well, Mark, so everyone can check it out and think about it for themselves. But the Altima, to me, is one of my favorite cars that Nissan does, but I didn't do the research before. Are their numbers as affected as everybody else by the whole drop-off with sedans versus anything with the UV on the end of it?
They're affected, but not as badly as the worst. If you look at the three big Japanese companies, the midsize sedan has become one of their bread and butter vehicles. The Camry, the Accord, and the Altima, and all of them are down because the market is shifting toward SUVs. But they're not down as badly as a Chevy Impala or a Ford Fusion. So the Altima is still going to be a big player. It'll still be one of the best-selling vehicles in the country, but it's not going to be back at the levels of well over 300,000 that it used to be.
I'm looking through, and you've got so many great things here. We'll talk about Audi and Lincoln and stuff in a second, Mark. But the one that jumps out at me is, am I missing it? Am I not seeing anything from FCA in here?
Jeep has
okay,
got
Jeep.
The,
yeah, okay, stand corrected. Okay.
Yep, it's a quiet year for their other brands, but it's a big year for Jeep because they've got the Wrangler-based pickup, which we think is going to be called the Scrambler.
Right.
And they've got the bigger Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer SUVs, which they want to compete with vehicles like the Tahoe and the Suburban. So this is potentially a really important year for Jeep.
So here's my question then. As I was thinking, the point I was trying to get to, Mark, is like, is Chrysler a viable brand anymore?
That's a very good question. And The answer really is not particularly. I mean, the Chrysler brand itself, it is now the Pacifica.
Well, in total transparency, we own one. My wife absolutely loves it. It's her favorite minivan she's ever had in her life. She loves her Pacifica. And we were sitting there talking. I'm like, okay, and then what else do they have?
Yeah, well, and the Pacifica is a great vehicle, and in addition to the base minivan, the plug-in hybrid is amazing. I mean, 33 miles on the battery, most minivans, that probably covers all the driving you do 5 days out of the week. So it's a terrific vehicle, but it's the only vehicle in the Chrysler brand. You're absolutely right. I think that Fiat Chrysler has decided that Chrysler and Dodge can basically be brands that live on as sort of the first name for one or two models. There's the Chrysler 300, of course, also, and I can't believe I forgot to mention that. But that's getting so old that at some point in the near future, they've got to decide either to replace that with a new vehicle or drop it. But the Chrysler brand is tiny. The vast majority of their sales, of FCA's sales, are coming from Jeep and Ram. And if Chrysler continues to sell one or two models, that's enough. But the brand itself is, as a brand, it's an afterthought. It's a couple of models.
I'm always intrigued by that too, Mark, that, like you talk about the 300, maybe even the Dodge Journey, that they're making enough numbers. And I don't know the answer to this, but I assume in the auto industry, you get to a point where you're making more off these vehicles because you've already paid for everything on the line, all the stamps and everything else to build this vehicle. All you're doing is slightly refreshing them, and you've already got the template for it. So your price point to build these vehicles, I would assume, is lower than trying to roll out a new line.
Oh, immensely lower. I mean, all of the tooling for the Chrysler 300 and the Dodge Charger was probably paid off. Did you say your son is 15?
Yeah.
He was probably paid off before he was 7. all of that investment is well in the past. And Fiat Chrysler is really good at doing special editions and keeping aging vehicles relevant.
Yeah.
Things like, the Hellcat and the Demon, I mean, for heaven's sake, how much free publicity did they get for those on a vehicle platform that it goes back to 2005 model year, I think. So at some point, they'll have to refresh them, or it'll just be impossible to keep those old platforms relevant in changing safety standards and other things. But they can keep building them for at least a little bit longer.
Yeah.
The question then is, do they have another platform that they can base replacements on? And I hope they do, because those vehicles have been a blast for a long time, and they've got a really big loyal audience.
Oh, absolutely. There's a passion for them. So that kind of transition, Mark Phelan once again with us from Autocritic for the Detroit Free Press, his article about the 20 new must-see new cars coming out in the next 12 months. Cadillac bringing out, you've got the XT4 coming out this fall, and then we're going to wind up with what's the next one. So you got your XT6 that we're expecting maybe next spring.
Yep.
Why won't Cadillac use the name El Dorado, DeVille, when they look over at Lincoln and everybody loves the Continental? Is it me? Or I'm like, there are no, to me, are there any, am I missing this? Are there any bad connotations to using those names?
I don't get it, Mark.
No, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do with BMW.
They probably feel a little bit of the past, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And they certainly don't feel old-fashioned, I don't think, and there's no big problems associated with the names. So, no, they just are committed to the idea that they're going to use the same alphanumeric names that the big international luxury brands do. And I have to say, when you say everybody loves the Continental, everybody who buys the Continental loves the Continental.
Yeah.
But not that many people buy it. I mean, it is a vehicle. It's a great vehicle, and the interior is stunning. If you asked me to drive one of them coast to coast, I would leave in the morning. It is such a great place to spend your time. But it's not a vehicle that is making any inroads on Lexus or BMW, and that's what Cadillac's job is, really. Lincoln is still figuring out what its job is. So the Continental, as long as it keeps the the dealership's busy and keeps, you know, people coming back in for service, the Continental is working in Ford's context.
So, you know, with going back to Cadillac real quick, I know we're talking about a sports sedan to replace the ATS. If you, I was told by Bob Lutz once that the ATS was never meant to be a Cadillac anyway. That was supposed to be Pontiac in their initial plans. Have you ever heard that?
I have not. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's certainly possible, and Bob is the guy who would know.
So, yeah, that was their initial car. That was going to be their BMW battler, that they were going to bring the ATS out. I think it's a great little car, but I'm curious to see what they're going to do. With the sedan world the way it is right now, does that maybe put it on the back burner, or is it a definite that it's coming?
It's definitely coming. It's close enough that at this point, it would take your heroic efforts for them not to build it, basically. And I think it's interesting because when they announced that they were, you know, phasing out ATS and CTS, a lot of us, including myself, assumed that meant that Cadillac was sort of going the Ford route, and all of the new vehicles that they introduced would be SUVs of one sort or another, because that's what Cadillac needs desperately, vehicles like the XT4. But they think that they still need to have sports sedans, so they've got a couple that are coming. It sounds like they're changing to the same naming system as the CT6. So,
okay,
you know, it'll be the CT4 and 5, we expect, will be the ATS and CTS replacements. And both of them are terrific cars. I love the ATS, but the interior space has been an issue for it. One of the things Cadillacs always did in the past was be at the top of whatever segment they were in for room. And, you know, the ATS certainly got away from that. The CTS did a little bit. And my understanding is that with the new models, they want to get back to the idea that if you get a Cadillac, you're going to have more room than you do in the, you know, corresponding BMW or Lexus.
Makes sense. Yeah, I'm going to get some seat time in a CTS-V here in a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. I may not come back. I may wind up here. Last thing, Mark Phelan, I don't want to give away everything in here. I want folks to read this article. Again, we got it linked. We'll have it posted up, Mark Phelan. If you go to thefreep.com, and, of course, follow Mark underscore Phelan, Phelan. I got it right?
Absolutely.
Okay, on Twitter. The one that I want to mention, because it's making me insane, the Bronco. What? I have never, boy, there are 16-year-old boys who had better luck getting into their girlfriend's pants than anyone trying to get photos of the Bronco.
Yeah, Ford has kept it so quiet. They've been brilliant with it. Part of it is probably that the vehicle, they announced it so long before they had they were going to be able to sell it, that they probably didn't have anything that you could get pictures of. But there should be some of them now. It'll be in production about a year after the Ranger. So we're talking 2020 now. So it's still a long way out. But we should start seeing more detailed information on it soon. Another vehicle that everybody wants to know more about, a legitimate off-road SUV. You know, the market certainly needs more of those.
Yeah.
Competition for Jeep should make everybody better. But Ford is taking them so long to get this on the road. And that's part of, you know, the problem that has led to, you know, a lot of stress at Ford.
Yeah.
That you got to wonder, you know, How relevant will it be when it finally shows up?
Well, I thought it was interesting. We went out there to the Design Dome when Jim was up there talking about, I think it was Farley or Hackett, one of them was talking about how that you could, even in their presentation, they were saying, like, we don't need to go all the way out to Moab to prove that the Bronco is legit. And I'm like, wow, you just kind of tipped your hand that everything you're doing is geared directly at Jeep.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they're not making no bones about it.
Benchmark.
Yeah. Jeep is going to be the one they're all going to go after. Mark, there's so much going on in the auto industry right now. It really is a good time. The mid-engine Corvette, every time we get a video of it, I post it up, and it gets more hits than anything. I could put up a picture of a turn signal from a C8, and people would lose their minds.
Yes. And if it was video of it flashing, you'd break the internet.
So is it going to be called the Zora or not? What do you think?
Boy, that's another one they've done a great job keeping quiet. I think that they're going to stay with the Corvette name. For me, the really big question is, what do they do with the existing model? We think they'll keep it in production for at least a couple of years. So does it become Corvette is one model and Stingray is another? And is there a chance that they might continue the two-model approach? I mean, that's what I would like to see, because the current car is so good.
Yeah.
But, you know, we won't know until we've seen what the pricing on the new one is.
This is interesting, man. There's so much going on. Mark Phelan, it's always great talking to you, buddy. And be well. And what stories are you working on now? Anything we can tease that's coming up?
Oh, well, we were talking about the Cadillac XT4. I am going out to the introduction of that later on this week. I will have, I think the first driving impressions on it will be running on the 20th, if I recall correctly. So that's my next really interesting new vehicle on the horizon.
Mark, it's always great talking to you, buddy. Be well. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, there he goes. Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press here. Wrap it up. That was fun sitting in the garage, Mark. Again, we have the link posted up there as well. It's a cool dude, man. 20 must-see new cars coming in the next 12 months. Love to hear from you as well. You can hit me up on Twitter at WCSXJim. Thanks to the Daves for this amazing song. You heard this song? This old guy is ever gonna pass. He can't see the dotted line. He can't be the animals on the merging signs. He got a big fat pupa going down the road. A lightweight driver with a heavy load. Punch them, go. How do they keep it on the road? Love these guys. Old people in cars. Here you go. Take care of yourself. God bless. Be well. We'll be back.